kind of amazing the way that the universe flows and how it's like, haha, let's just show you how it all comes together.
I had probably the biggest epiphany of my life during that experience.
It sucks and it's hard and we may not always love it when we're first there.
That practice alone changed the trajectory of my life.
There's always a way. It's just a matter of what do I need to do to figure out that way.
It made me feel like I was wrong or something was wrong with me and it wasn't the right fit.
And so I know last week we were talking about like self-care things and how a lot of times self-care gets really focused on our physical part of ourselves. But we're not just physical beings. We have all these different layers. And, you know, sometimes we talk about our mental self-care, but we don't often dive into emotional self-care, which can help us catch on earlier in that stream when it comes to mental self-care or physical self-care. And then even earlier up the stream, I would offer is spiritual self-care, right? When we're talking about our soul and our spirit and how that actually comes into play with our emotions, our mental well-being, our physical well-being, and it's a cascade effect. And I've mentioned this sometimes to individuals and they're like, well, I'm a religious person and I think that's a beautiful thing. But our spiritual self-care isn't simply about our belief system, right? That supports our spiritual self-care. That's like one feeder into that. But that is not our entire spiritual self-care. Mm-hmm. Just like eating well is not the gambit of our physical self-care. There's like all of these things that take care of our body. And eating well is one facet of that. Exercise is one facet of that. You know, our religion is absolutely that belief system that lays the framework for our spiritual self-care. But what if you're not a religious person? Does that mean you have no spiritual self-care? It absolutely doesn't. It means that you're just choosing other forms of spiritual self-care. And that's what I would like to dive into. It's how then do we nurture ourselves on a spiritual or a soul level and be the spiritual beings we are, regardless of whether we choose religion as one of those paths in or we have other ways of doing it. What are some of those tools? And so in the book and here today, I really, really want to dive into some of those. And I know that when you and I first met, you know, you were not a religious individual. And I mean, you can talk about that on your own time, but we then had to figure out a means by which you can nurture your soul. And some of these tools came into play. So I would like you to share one of the ones that just really hit home for you or helped you feel the most nurtured?
Meditation, by far.
Okay.
And I don't know, that's actually where we started. But that was the first time I meditated was in Sedona, Arizona, back in 2014. And I'd say active. Like conscious meditation, because we can have a whole podcast about the different forms of meditation, you know, both conscious, subconscious, and unconscious, and all of that. But in terms of like me actually seeking meditation for a spiritual purpose, this was really the first time. And I had probably the biggest epiphany of my life during that experience. Up to that point, I had spent so much of my life doing to seek happiness and to fulfill that happiness. In the moment I was doing, perceivingly doing nothing, I was the most happy. And that was just like a wow, you know, crazy, wild experience to say, what, you know, this meditation thing that people are talking about isn't just, you know, woo-woo, you know, out there stuff. It's like, man, now I see, I'm getting a glimpse of what just being present and what being, you know, on the top of this mountain in Bell Rock with 360 degree view of just nature, just pure silence up there, doing nothing, just enjoying, figuring out that aspect of what it means to be a human being, not a constant human doing, and how profound that simplicity was. I was like, wow, there is so much that I'm missing. Constantly being in the future with my thoughts, or constantly being in the past with my thoughts, that I'm missing on the very life that I am deeply desiring, and it's right in front of me in the now. That practice alone changed the trajectory of my life.
And it changed it in many ways. It's how we actually met.
Yes.
Like, you were seeking support and the exploration mm-hmm. of meditation. And that's what led you to me.
Exactly.
And so I think it's very fitting that our 100th episode,
yes.
yay, our 100th podcast is focused on that spiritual self-care and that spiritual well-being. Because that's literally what brought us together and has us doing all of this together. Right. And it's kind of amazing the way that the universe flows and how it's like, haha, let's just show you how it all comes together. If you're nurturing all parts of yourself, look at what can unfold. Mm-hmm. Look at where your life can lead you. And by making that decision that day on Bell Rock to say, I see, because you were taking care of your physical form. You had gone through your back injury. You were very focused on what it took to take care of your physical form, mm-hmm. your mental and your emotional. You were starting to navigate down, mm-hmm. but your spiritual was where you're like, okay, I just noticed I need more spiritual self-care.
Yeah.
And religion was not the path you desired to go down, but meditation mm-hmm. definitely rang very deep for you. And you desired to know what other forms of meditation were available.
Yeah.
And so you showed up on my doorstep. And that's where it started.
Yeah.
And it was beautiful. And there are so many forms of meditation. And they can interlink with religious practices. So meditation with prayer is a lovely way to go deeper in your practice of prayer mm-hmm. and feel that resonate through the form. If you are not someone who is religious, then meditation allows you to dive deeper into knowing of self. And how your soul speaks to yourself. If you're not someone who wants to sit on top of Bell Rock, right? That is not what's calling you, but you prefer more active means. You know, these I wear because mantra is a great active practice that still gets the brain to calm down. And yet, you're in that meditative state, and by the time you're done saying a mantra, whether that is in Sanskrit or you choose to say it in your own language, just something that really resonates with you. It could be something as simple as, I am love. And if you do that in Sanskrit, aham prema, then by the time you're done saying it 108 times, there's a calm and an energy that flows through. And you find you're in a meditative state. So there are so many different ways to feed your spirit and find health through meditation that then, when we think about calming our thought patterns and bringing ourselves into a resonance energetically, a coherent brain pattern, a coherent heart to brain pattern, then we get this point where our emotions are less likely to be triggered and our mental clarity is a lot more present in the present moment, and our stress hormones are not being released into our body as often. And so we've got this whole sweep that begins to occur across all of the segments. So we keep moving it upstream, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I think that that's important.
Definitely. Yeah, and I feel like when you see meditation and prayer as a, in some ways, interchangeable, and I think it took me a while to get to that point because I had a fundamental misunderstanding of what prayer was about. I viewed it more of like an ask and a wish versus a gratitude. And just love. Mm-hmm. And when I did see prayer as that, then I started to recognize how interchangeable meditation and prayer are. Because when you're unlocking meditation for spiritual growth, that gratitude and that love and that vibrational frequency, if you will, that you are choosing in that present moment kind of sets the tone. It's like unlocking into what you desire to experience in your life. Whereas like a wish or a want keeps you in the lack, and gratitude puts you in the abundance. And so that was the differentiation. And so I always felt like when I was praying when I was younger, and that misunderstanding, I was wishing for things and I wouldn't see them happen. And then I was disappointed, and then it created this flow. And I was like, I don't understand this. This isn't actually helpful. And it just kind of, it made me feel like I was wrong or something was wrong with me. And so it wasn't the right fit. Now that I understand through meditation what the purpose of prayer is, and how beautiful they are in conjunction, then I recognize that no matter what religion or faith or belief or spiritual practice that we choose, that it can be a beautiful ally to assist when you have the intention and purpose and vibration of love, abundance, and gratitude flowing through into it. Then that's when it has its magical power, if you will.
Yes. Yeah. I love that statement because, yes, when we are coming at it from that space of pure gratitude and humble awareness of the beauty that life is,
yeah,
and the gifts that we've been given to be here and be alive, then it absolutely enhances any prayer instead of what can you give me and what do I lack?
Yes.
Give me, give me, give me. I always think about it like, you know, my child, and I'm as a parent, when my child comes to me so grateful for what I have given and then says, but what would really help me, Mom, is if you could support me in this way, then I'm much more willing to be like, oh, okay, so you recognize what I've given and you're grateful for what I've given and you're showing me how you've utilized that, but you're also telling me what would be helpful on your journey right now. I get that. But when it's just, I need, I need, I need, I need, I need, then it starts to be like, okay, but what about everything I've already gifted you? Where's that? And sometimes we, from a spiritual perspective, we do miss that little gap where it's like, okay, how much gratitude have we given for the gift of being here? The opportunity to learn the things that we're learning from a spiritual nature. How much is our soul gaining even through the challenges? Even through the perception of the hard times, how much are we learning? And how grateful are we for that sometimes? Like, I want to be grateful even in the challenges because that's where I'm getting stronger. It's like deadlifting, or like, it sucks and it's hard and working out is hard. And we may not always love it when we're first there, but that's where we really build muscle. And it's the same thing in our soul level challenges, right? They're hard, but that's what we got to give gratitude for as well. And in meditation, you get that soul reflection to be able to see, this challenge got me here, and wow, how lucky am I. Thank you in prayer for that opportunity, so that then maybe I don't desire to revisit that, but I thank you for the gifts that came from it, so that now I can move forward to greener pastures, kind of thing. Yeah. And speaking of greener pastures, tool number two I would offer in this list is looking at those greener pastures. Mm-hmm. Our soul, from my perspective, our spirits really gain a lot from being in nature and spending time connecting with this gift of a planet that we have. Now, you might not be someone who really loves going all the way out into nature and like camping. And we have these talks all the time because, man, I would sleep on the ground in a sleeping bag with nothing but a tent and a fire and a heartbeat. And you're like, eh, not necessarily my thing. So we find our balance, and instead we go to the beach and we hang out, or we'll go for a hike. But that's still an amazing way to find our balance through nature, because these, our animals show us a lot and we can learn a lot from them. Just feeling the life force energy that flows through nature. I don't care if we're sitting in a park in the middle of a city and just feeling the pulse of other people. That in itself, when we go to New York and we sit in Central Park, it's amazing. And so taking the time to just sit every now and then in a space that's open in nature, and you can really feel how your spirit is interacting with your environment. It's a great, great thing.
Agreed. And I know it's been tough over these last few years with everything going on with the pandemic and us being told that being outside is not great. So I think now is, if not now, then soon, whenever someone feels comfortable. But the more that we can get out and really celebrate the beautiful world around us and connect with nature, there is something called the biophilia effect, which is inherent in the human body. And just how both nature and like the cells of nature, the cells of humans actually flourish when surrounded by each other. In Japan, forest bathing is actually prescribed, especially when it comes to mental or emotional health and wellness. It's just, and in terms of, if there's a misunderstanding or like, hey, I don't know what to do, it's prescribed to like go out and go in the forest and bathe in the beauty of nature and what's around you, because it's you almost have to actively choose not to feel connected when that much nature is around you. When we're in the city and we're surrounded by, you know, all these buildings and concrete, and it doesn't quite have that same effect. I mean, like what you're saying with New York, for example, I mean, Central Park is incredible, but you can get some experience of that when you walk around, because you're constantly hearing different languages and you're hearing kind of the bustle of the city and you're hearing a different style of a heartbeat, if you will, of a connection point. It is when you can experience different cultures walking on the same street, you know, there is a sense of connected in oneness in that. And so that is a unique experience for those living in a space in a large city. There's a way to be conscious in the connection, but there's also a reason why people leave the city to go really just decompress and be in that sense of wonder and vastness, that like the mountains or the ocean or a large lake, you know, there's it's really incredible being in the midst of a forest, that can, what that can do. And so it is amazing, even if it's just 20 minutes a day walking to your local park and just taking your shoes off and putting your feet in the grass and just saying, hey, you know, like, I feel this. Or even in your backyard, if you have that, being able to connect with the grass and nature, or just taking a moment of, even if all you're able to do that day, because it's just a crazy day and you're able to sit with an animal that you have and just be with them and see that, you know, they're present. Be with their presence, look into their eyes, recognize their soul, have your soul connect with their soul, and just be in that oneness. You know, that is, like, we forget that we are nature. I think that's kind of like where humanity has gotten. And so those moments, those present moments, pull us in and remind us that we have never not been a part of nature. That's just an illusion. And so when we can bring ourselves actively, consciously choose to be a part of nature, then that can actually unlock the very best of us.
Hi, I'm your host, Amber, and I am here with Austin on the Heart Leader Podcast. We are so grateful that you are tuning in to be with us. To never miss an episode, take a moment right now to click the subscribe button below and give us a like so we know we're creating content that you really enjoy. And I like your recommendation, because I do have friends who are like, I don't like nature because I don't like the dirt. Mm-hmm. I don't have time to go out, get dirt on me, and then come back and go to the office. Mm-hmm. I completely get that. Go to a cat cafe, right? Or somewhere that you can go to a pet store where you can be around animals or something like that. Mm-hmm. So there's still a connection in a different, unique way to nature. Mm-hmm. And you still have that united feeling, but you don't have to be around dirt, right? You find your own way of connecting with nature in a way that feels comfortable for you. Mm-hmm. But there's always a way. And the onus on us as individuals is to find the way that fits for us and to not say there isn't a way. Because one thing I have figured out in my lifetime is there's always a way. It's just a matter of what do I need to do to figure out that way. And if part of what will help me in my health and my well-being is connecting with nature in some way to get that biofeedback that increases my life force and shares with another to increase their life force, then it's worth the time investment to figure out where I'm comfortable. Now, if I shove myself into a nature setting where I'm not comfortable, like if I were to say, Austin, you have to go camping with me, you would be miserable the whole time. And that's actually going to pull away from your spiritual growth. And it's going to take away from that life force, that pulse, that biofeel that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And that's not helful. So you're actually going the opposite direction. You have to find what feeds you. And then, and that comes from like trial and error, right? We're all unique. It's going to come from that trial and error. So if you go to a park and you're like, man, this sucks. I really don't like anything about this. Then you know that's not what fits for you. Then you look at, okay, what else is nature? Maybe I love turtles. Turtles are so fun. Why wouldn't you love... Like, okay, so I'm going to go to a pet store and maybe I'm going to visit with the turtles. Mm-hmm. And that's my way of connecting with nature. And I'll do that once a week. Mm-hmm. And that fulfills this for my soul. And I, you know, that's just the best way for me to connect with nature.
Absolutely. And there's so many, whether it's going on a walk or taking a bike ride or going golfing. I mean, there's so many things that are actually out in nature. And so, you know, that we can explore, that's fun.
Yeah. The next tool that I would present for our spiritual health and well-being is to find a community. And that could be through your faith or your religion. It might also be if you're not one who has a faith or a religion, it could be like the community we have through Sui Vera, or just a community in general where you can feel safe exploring soul level questions and looking internally, because we all need that safe space where we can ask questions like, why am I here? What is this all about? And not feel as though the exploration process itself is limited, right? And I know I've had that experience where the moment I started asking the questions, it's like, don't go there. Don't go there. And then you start to feel like there's something inherently wrong with you for even having the question. And a community that allows you to explore it, knowing that there are no wrong questions and there are no wrong answers, there is only exploration to get to the next, is so important when you're exploring spiritual growth and spiritual well-being and health. It's like our own physical health, right? When we get sick, we want all the answers and we want all the information so we can make the most informed decision for our own health and well-being. We want a cure, right? We want to understand, like, what's the best next step for me if I'm sick? And that isn't, okay, I can only look at this one segment and no other segments. It's like, no, I'm a whole being in this physical form, and I want to know what's going on with me all biologically so I can make the best decision for how to heal.
Yeah.
The same is true for our spiritual well-being. If I have questions, I need to be able to explore all that information and be able to reach out to other communities if I have questions about that as well. Doesn't mean that I don't still very much belong to this community. I just have questions that I would like to explore so that I feel like I have a good solid base that I'm standing on. And finding that community will be very, very important. Now, maybe you don't have all those questions, and that's great too, but make sure you're honoring who you are all the way through for your spirit and where you are. It's very, very important.
Love that. Yeah, I mean, there's a great tool, Meetup. It's pretty available in the US. I can't speak for other countries at this moment regarding Meetup, but if you kind of just go on Meetup and look for either spiritual development or different groups like that, like we have here in Phoenix. And I mean, there's could be thousands of people searching for the very same thing you are. And that's always eye-opening, because sometimes it feels like you're the only one. And in a world that is vast with 8 billion people, it is easy to feel like you're alone in whatever you're seeking. And it's also humbling to realize that, yeah, there's a lot more, and it feels you get that sense of connection. And if you're not quite ready for that, I mean, there's so many, as you're saying, there are so many different types of group. Like, I have a group of guys that I play every Wednesday pickleball. It's a great workout. It's a lot of fun. And I feel like I get not just like physical well-being from that exercise, but I feel like I get mental and emotional, just because we've all created a great connection, and honestly spiritual. There are some of these guys that I've created great connections with that will be friends and are friends for kind of a lifetime. And it feeds my soul when I have that type of connection. And so when you have groups of people that you're engaging with that you can recognize you might be able to hit all four, like, that's a beautiful expression. That maybe might be the very indicator that you've been looking for, to remind yourself that you are in abundance and that you are exactly where you're meant to be and you are on your path. And that's something that you should nurture. And when you self-care is all about nurturing. And so nurture that. Allow yourself to be immersed in that. Be in that community as much as you feel called to be. And like you're saying, being willing. I mean, how many different communities are there for hiking communities, or there's different food communities, or mental health communities. I mean, there's a community for almost anything. Yeah. It's just a matter of looking. There are people in this world who are seeking the very same thing you are. And so, and that's kind of what that's really what Suivera is really designed to be, is to be a space for people, a safe space for people to not only engage in them, but also create new communities within. And as you're saying, because it is hard. I mean, when you're part of a major religion and you want to learn about another, there are plenty of times where people will start to either shun or push you out because it's viewed as a lack or an othering. Mm-hmm. And that's really tough. I have a lot of compassion and empathy for individuals who may feel very happy with where they are in faith in their own religion, but interested in what others have to say. It'd be like if I was stuck, if I played golf and that's what, it really is my passion, but I was only in one lane. And, if I started asking someone about tennis and then the golf community is like, no, you can't play golf here anymore. Like, no, I mean, tennis is still a great sport. It doesn't mean I want to play it all the time, but I want to learn about it. It's like that I feel like that opportunity can be spread across every type of community so that we can learn and grow and recognize that the true community is the oneness of humanity and the collective connection that we have as we experience our body, mind, emotion, and spirit through the vehicle of the human dynamic.
Yes. And the true unity of religion is the love that flows through all of it.
Yes.
And so if we focus on the love that we all are truly seeking and desiring through our beliefs, then sharing what we know through them, it doesn't mean it's a tool, it's a vehicle to support our spirit and our soul. And therefore, if we shared our tools and our resources, then we all grow stronger together. And that is the goal. That is the goal. And by being willing to do that, by balancing our ego response to it, and stepping into the true flow of why we have these tools and resources, which is to uplift ourselves, to bring ourselves into alignment with Source, God, Allah, the names that we utilize, but that true flow of divine love, then we begin to understand that it doesn't mean that I'm going to flow out of my chosen path by seeking to understand and love and honor the paths that others have chosen. Mm-hmm. It actually enhances my path. And that's where we get this opportunity. And it goes into like the fourth tool. Even if we don't get the opportunity to reach out to another community, we may have the opportunity to find resources, books, writings, websites, where we can begin to learn more about other religions or spiritual communities or things like that, so that when we do have discussions with one another, we come at it from a more informed place and from a more compassionate place. And that in itself, not only does it enhance our spirit, but it elevates the spirit of our collective, our human collective as a whole. Because then we're seeing that it's not us versus them, or that one is somehow like pulling against the other. It is we are all here for love, and all here to gain insights from one another. And the more we learn that from one another and from seeking to understand versus seeking to divide, then the stronger that we all become together. And when we're all stronger together, then I'm stronger individually. And our soul understands that. And that's spiritual growth, spiritual self-care, and spiritual evolution all at the same time. Sorry.
Don't apologize ever for that. That was beautiful. Thank you, Mila.
Thank you. So those are four very strong tools for spiritual self-care, and religion supports this greatly. We love global religion. It's a wonderful thing, but it is an aspect. It's not the whole.
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. And if you're not connected to a major religion, just like there are teachings of personal growth. You know, if that's the beauty of spiritual, is it's focused in, on your soul, right? And so it's beautiful that many people want to change the world, but it's really impossible to do that if you don't start with yourself. That's really one of our core tenets of Sui Vera, is focusing on the self, not from a place of ego or self-centeredness, but from a place of self-love, self-care, and recognizing that the more you pull the very best out of yourself, the better this world becomes. Because that's the only person that we can direct is ourselves. And so if it isn't a major religious teaching that you're called to learn and grow, then at least start with personal growth. There's a lot of books. There are a lot of courses and teachings for many, many years that are all centered on personal growth and development, on the soul level, on all aspects. So that's a beautiful space to connect and learn. So, and that might actually open the door into other religious faiths, recognizing there many of them are saying the same things, just in a slightly different way.
Yeah, exactly. So those are my four tools. Is there anything else that you would add?
Yeah, acts of service and kindness. That is a beautiful, beautiful tool, because again, you don't have to be connected to any organization to do that. An act of service or kindness can be as simple as just saying thank you to someone, as simple as opening up a door when you're driving, letting someone through, just maybe they're having a rush day. It's just, hey, you know, you need it, you go ahead. Just a smiling, telling someone that they look beautiful, or their hair looks nice, or hey, great shoes, or you know, tell them they did a great job. Just the things that we all would love to hear ourselves. It's no wonder that others would like to hear that too. And so, you know, if we want to put more intention behind it, there are beautiful missionaries and there are beautiful ways to bring forward service through a mission, for example. And that is something that we are building here in Sui Vera, with our ministry and aspects like that. But there's so many other major faiths. There's organizations that have missions to help, whether it's build homes or support by providing food or education. I mean, there's so much out there that people need all different types of help. And so that, to me, like when we do choose acts of service or kindness, that's us saying the soul in me sees the soul in you. And that is inherently oneness, connection, unity, and embodiment of love.
Yes.
And it's free. It's something we can just choose to do. Like, it doesn't cost anything to be nice.
It's nice to be nice.
It's nice to be nice. Exactly.
Yes. And it feels really good.
It does. Absolutely.
But I would say a caveat to that is be nice to be nice.
Yes.
Not to get something in return.
Yeah.
Right? No, that helps a great deal. Because when we do it to get something in return, mm-hmm. and we don't get it, then it's actually soul crushing and not soul building.
It's a That's very well said. It kind of goes back to, in some ways, like you were saying, to greener pastures. It's kind of like, in the sense that it's, we can approach it from a place of lack, like some of the others, and say, oh, well, the grass is green over here and I'll do that. But, you know, it's greener where you water it. And so if this is our, if our goal is to see the world be a nicer place, then it starts with us, and we have to be the ones watering that. And so we have to be the ones choosing it. And it also starts with yourself. I mean, how many times are we, I know I am, or sometimes, and I've been in this, less now, for sure, where I'd probably be, the of anyone around me, the meanest person to myself. And then that would create this cycle of me wanting to see kindness from outside of me. And then when I wasn't getting that, it just perpetuated the issue. And so I had to start that kindness within myself. And the more I started to be more kind and loving to myself and doing acts of service and kindness to myself, again, not from that place of conceitedness or ego, or, but from just true authentic self-love, then I started to receive that from that, those around me as well, more. And then that became a cycle I deeply desired to perpetuate, because that's an amazing, amazing benefit.
Yes. And I love the phrase, the grass is greener where you water it, because it does make you realize that the only reason the grass might be greener on the other side is because those people would have been watering it. And so now, if I take the action and I water my own grass, then I'm going to have the greenest grass on the block, right? And I have direction over that. I then can take it into my own hands to make certain that I'm always watering, that I'm always nurturing myself on all levels of myself. And then that can go out. And of course, that water is going to trickle out onto other lawns, right? Eventually, my lawn's going to have more than enough, and it's going to start to trickle out. And that's going to be greatly beneficial. So, yeah, it's a beautiful, beautiful phrase.
I also feel that we definitely underestimate the impact we have on those around us. Mm-hmm. And so people could be looking up to us and very appreciative of the kindness that we share without ever letting us know. Yeah. And it's hard, because when you don't have that type of feedback, you know, it can feel like, you know, is what I'm doing enough? Is what I'm doing even helping those around me? I can understand that. Yeah. But sometimes we just have to trust. I mean, when, if we really take a step back and ask ourselves, when has the most authentic, pure love that we chose ever led us wrong? Not an egoic love or an external love or an illusion of love, but like a real, true, authentic love. And we all know the difference. Inherently, we know it. Just have to take that time to ask ourselves. And we know that it's always led us beautifully. And that's what we have to trust. And we can do that through acts of service and kindness are a vehicle for that love.
Well, any other tidbits of advice?
There's so much that I feel like we could continue to discuss regarding this. Yeah. But spirituality is such a personal thing. Each one of us are so unique and special and a beautiful part of the bigger puzzle. And so you always, and I love what you say, and that is, you know, recognize the piece of the puzzle that you are and seek to understand how you fit. because you're meant to be a part of it all. And when we force ourselves to be a different shape or a different puzzle piece, then the puzzle is no longer whole anymore. So we are who we are for a reason. And the spiritual opportunity is for us to seek to understand why, how, and experience that at all levels of who we are. For me, I feel personally maybe there isn't a wrong way. Maybe there's maybe perceived wrong ways. But you'll know in your heart if it's beneficial for you or not. And so that's why I feel like it's so important for whether it's Suivera or another or other organizations out there to just be inclusive and open to all different approaches. Because the reality is it's stemming from one approach, and that is in many ways the human approach.
Yeah.
And we're all still figuring out what it means to be human. that is the joy of this experience.
Yes. 1,000 times yes. And we'll constantly get to grow that, right? Because what it means to be human today will not be the same as what it means to be human 100 years from now. We look back 100 years ago, it is not the same as what it means to be human today.
Yeah.
And so that's the joy of constant conscious evolution, biological evolution, all of it, technological evolution. That's what we're doing.
Yeah.
We're constantly learning, growing, evolving. How we do that is up to us.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we need to constantly be aware of.
Yeah.
It's not happening to us, it's happening with us. And those who pay attention to their own forward momentum and their own present moment interactions are helping to shape what that evolution looks like, not just for themselves, but for the whole. And that's what we're saying, even with this book, Silence Your Inner Critic. When we recognize that we have a running inner dialogue that is connecting to that negative brain bias that was part of us from way back when we first started, and maybe isn't serving us any longer, then we're starting to be consciously aware that we have the ability in our present moment to change our forward evolution. And we're taking the steps to start to reprogram that now so future humans don't have to be so consciously aware of that inner critic going on. Talk about a superhero. You're not only having a superhero inner champion going on, but you're being a superhero for future generations. And it's a big deal because you're helping to frame what's happening in the future for humanity as a whole. And you get to do that just by your choices right now. It's amazing. Yes. You get to do that. And so thank you so much for being here and being willing to be part of the Heart Leader podcast, for tuning in and taking in these tips, understanding which ones fit for you. Again, this is coming from our book that will be released, Silence Your Inner Critic. If you're interested in getting 20% off when we do launch, and we'll constantly keep you updated the more we know when that will happen, you can head on over to silenceyourinnercritic.com and pre-register for 20% off. When you do, you will automatically get one of our best-selling workshops. It is the Mirror Technique Workshop, all about helping you get more connected within and see that beautiful being that you are and really connect through some mirror work. It's a 1 week workshop where you and I will work together every day for a week. And if you have questions, you get to post in there and I will get right back with you within 24 to 48 hours. Along with that, you can post comments wherever you're listening to this. We will make sure that we answer them within that 24 to 48 hours. We love hearing from you. And if you enjoy getting these tips, lists, different tools, it's helpful if you hit the subscribe button below. What that does is it makes certain that you never miss an episode where we have all of these tools coming to you. And as we start adding new and different resources out here on our YouTube channel, you'll also get access to those very, very quickly. And we'll also make sure that they're available wherever you listen to your podcasts. Until next time, I am your host, Amber, and I'm here with co-host Austin. And we look forward to seeing you next week and interacting with you here in the community.